able to be here. And God bless you, brother. Preach on, and we appreciate you being here. God bless you.
Okay, everybody has a Bible.
Yeah,
everybody has a Bible. I can see in one. Turn to the book of Kings. First Kings, it's the 11th book in your Old Testament. We're going to be looking there. Is this the first time any of you have ever seen me?
Yeah.
Some people don't know who I am. Well, I am Missionary Leighton Kelly, all the way from sunny Dublin.
Yeah!
I am thrilled to be up here with you. If I had been twice as far, I would have come down. And I was just blessed to be asked to come down and share with you. Well, one of the reasons why I came down is, one of the reasons why I don't mind coming down all the way to speak to people like you when I'm real busy, is because I got saved at a thing like this. I came to know Christ at a holiday Bible club when I was about maybe 12 years old. Is there any 12-year-olds in the room? 12-year-olds are great. And I remember when I was 12 years old and I got invited to a holiday Bible club that the local Baptist church, just like your one, was having. And there, you know, I got saved, I came to Christ, and my life changed. And I walked with God for a whole year after that. But then there came a time when I went into foolishness. I went into sin, and the devil got a hold of my life, and I turned my life over to drugs. And my life was messed up for years and years after that. And why I'm down here today is because you have an opportunity in front of you this week to get to know God, to get to know Christ, and do what I done. Run with God. I got a heart for God, and I wanted to serve God when I got saved. But you know what? Don't do what me and Solomon done. Me and Solomon walked with God for a while, but then turned their backs on God and went their own way. Yeah. And what we're going to look at tonight, I'm sure you have heard preaching after preaching on Solomon this week, and you know more facts and figures about Solomon's life, timelines, verses, than I could ever tell you, because my memory isn't all that sharp. And see you doing them memory verses. You had me. If I had my Bible, I wouldn't have done that good. So that thrilled my soul. So what I'm saying is, I run an addictions program for people with addictions. And what I'm telling you is, if you don't keep the fire burning with God after this week, some of your statistics say will be in my program or in Tony's program, addicted to drugs when you are teenagers. That's scary, isn't it? And you say, Lane, that would never happen to somebody like me. I go to a good church. My family go to church. You know, my family didn't go to church, but I went to a good church, and I still ended up messed up. You know, there are many people that come to my addictions program that come from good families that got messed up because they didn't keep the fire going. They didn't keep walking with God the way they are. They turned their eyes from God and started to look at other areas. And that's exactly what happened to Solomon, and that's what we're going to look at. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to open our eyes to illumine His Word. Because if I just read it and I just preach it, it doesn't mean anything. You know, I may as well not have bothered coming on the train today. But if God makes His Word come alive to us tonight, it will all be worthwhile. So that's exactly what we're needing. So let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and we're going to pray. Oh Father God, we do pray, Lord, that You will give us the power of God on this meeting tonight, oh God. Lord, You know our hearts, You know we've been having good fun, we've been learning verses, we've been eating good food, we've been playing games. But now it's down to the serious time, Lord, we're going to look at Your Word. And Lord, Your Word is no good to us unless You're in it. And we would ask, Lord, that You would step down, that You would pour a blessing from Your cup on Your people tonight and draw us into a sweet relationship with You, oh God. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that You would illumine Your Word to our hearts that we might know You in a deeper way, oh God. Lord, if there's anything between us tonight, that You would take it away. And Lord, we do pray that they would hear from You, Lord, and not hear from me tonight. And I just ask, Lord, that You will bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm not going to try to tell you some facts and figures about Solomon or anything like that, because you already know all that kind of stuff. And what I'm kind of going to preach on is the Song of Solomon that is just sang. I'm not obviously preaching, but many of the things I'm going to say are based on that song. And what I'm going to try to look at, how Solomon, somebody that was flying high for God, how did somebody that was walking with God the way he was, how did he end up, you know, falling into sin and going far into sin? How did this happen to a godly man like Solomon? And you know, what was Solomon most known for? Everybody knows the answer to this. Wisdom. Everybody knows Solomon was known for wisdom. He was the wisest man. He knew everything. You weren't going to ask him a question and he was going to get the answer wrong. You know, he knew everything about everything. And I want just to make sure that you're looking with me in the verses. We're going to start in verse 5 and chapter 3. And remember, Solomon, you know, we want to find out how did he get the wisdom that he had. And you will already know this, but we're going to look at it again just a wee bit. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. So God's asking him, you know. God's saying to him, Jonathan, God's saying, you know what, Solomon? He comes to him in a dream and he says, Solomon, I'm giving you one wish and I'm asking you what you want. And you know, if it was Jonathan, he might say, well, I think I'll have more wishes. And that's what I would probably say. If God says, come on, mate, you can pick one thing, I'd say, can I have two things? I know, because I can be quite greedy. But somebody like Jonathan might turn around and say, well, I'd like good looks. If it was Paul, he might want a better football skills. If it was Pastor Ledbetter, he might want to be a better preacher. And you know, we will all ask for different things, but not Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. And we see that in the next verse, in verse 6. Solomon didn't ask for things that would make him better. He didn't ask for good looks or a big car or a fancy house. You know, he didn't ask for anything like this. He asked God for wisdom. And it says in verse 6, and Solomon said, thou hast shewed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. You know, Solomon knew in his heart that was God that made his father great. King David was a great king. And you know, it was God that made King David. And any great man is made by God.
Amen.
You know, you don't make yourself great. Any great preacher, it comes from God. Any great mother, godly mother, it comes from God.
Amen.
Any godly student, it comes from God.
Amen.
And you know, God makes men great. And you know, God made David great. And what he said, that Solomon recognized this because Solomon grew up and he had the influence of David in his home. And you know, I didn't grow up with any Christians in my home. None of my family know God. None of them go to church. None of them read the Bible. There was never ever a Bible in my home. I never got taught the things of God. And you know, it was never there for me. But Solomon had this. All through Solomon's life, from when he was born till his father died, he had the influence of King David. And you know, David walked around skipping around the palace singing psalms.
Amen.
And you know, he was just full of God. He was full of the Bible. He walked around with his King James Bible under his arm singing about the psalms. And you know, King David, he loved God. And Solomon grew up at this in his home. And Solomon grew to love God too. And Solomon knew exactly where David got the power from. Where his kingdom came from. Where everything he had came from. All them fancy clothes that Solomon grew up with, they all came from God.
Yeah.
David was a dirty little shepherd boy when God found him and cleaned him up.
Yeah.
And you know, no matter how you are today, God can take you, like he took David, off the hill, and God can make you great.
Yeah.
And God can wipe you down and make you better than you can ever think you could be.
Praise
and you know, Solomon learned from David's influence. He learned that passion for God from his father. And you know, because Solomon had David's influence, he got a good start in life. Yeah, and you know, we need to realize, I'm going to preach on this a wee bit, but whatever you concentrate on, you will become like. And in Solomon's life, what he was concentrating on when he was walking around the palace when he was a kid, when he was a young teenager, when he was 13, 14 growing up, what he was concentrating on was his father. He wanted to be like his father. He wanted to rule like his father. You know, he would see David walking down the corridor singing psalms and going to church on a Sunday and going to Bible studies and praying to God and just being sold out for God. And you know, I can tell you, Solomon wanted that. And he recognized that in his life. And that's why when he came to God, he says, I know you've done this for my father. Now will you do it for me? And you know, you need one thing we're going to look at is no matter what God does for one person, he can do for another person. So if God blesses one man, he can bless another. And you know, you can't say to me, Layton, I don't have a godly influence at home. When I go home, none of my family are safe. None of them go to church. So really, you know, it's not my fault if I don't act right at home. Well, you know, if you were saved, you know what God will have you do in your home. God will have you be such a good example in your life that you will lead your family to Christ. He will have you going home from this camp on fire for God and sold out for God, and your family will see a difference in your life. And you know, Solomon saw a difference in David's life because he walked with God, and your family will too if you go home right with God this week.
Amen.
And you know, what God has done for one person, he can do for another. The sin that God took out of my life, the heroin addiction and the addiction to all sorts of drugs, what he took out of my life, God can keep you from. Mm. You know, it's not a good testimony to say, you know what God done for me, God saved me out of a life of drug addiction. I used to stick needles in my arm. That's not a good testimony to say God has changed my life. You know what a good testimony is? When you can stand up and say, you know what God's kept me from? God's kept me from all that trash, God's kept me from all that filth. And I didn't have to go down that road. And I didn't have to waste 15 years of my life.
Praise God.
Didn't have to become a prostitute when I was a teenager for money for drugs. I didn't have to waste my life. What I had to do was just walk with the Savior, walk with God, do what God would have me to do. And my life was sweet. And that's the testimony that you want.
Yes.
And you know what? It will start this week in your life.
Praise God.
And you don't have a hard heart when you come and you're sitting here in the preaching, because God is speaking to hearts today, and I can tell by our faces, you know, you're hungry for God, some of you. Some of you have hard hearts, but you know what? If you will just say, God, I want you to speak to me. I need you to speak to me. God will speak to you.
That's right.
He's looking for the hungry heart.
Sorry.
If your heart is hungry tonight, God will speak to your heart tonight. And you know, you want God to keep you from what he saved me out. And you know, Solomon realized that everything that God had given his father, you know, he knew he needed God to do the same for him. He realized, you know, when his father was dead, he realized that he wasn't up to the task of ruling the people. He knew he couldn't do it. And he came to God, and you know, instead of asking for, you know, all these things that we would ask for, he says, in verse 9, he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who was able to judge this great people? And you know what he's saying is, you know, I've seen the example of my father. You know, I know that I need wisdom. And he would have, you know, David wrote most of the Psalms, and in Psalm 111 verse 10 it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commands, and praise endureth forever. And you know what? You know, Solomon knew this in his heart. He had heard his father David singing this many, many times. He had read it on the scrolls that his father David had wrote down. And you know, he understood this truth that was in his life. And he understood that he needed God to give him knowledge. And he needed God to be the number one in his life and have nothing else there before him. He knew if he didn't have God, he was stupid. And he was a young 18-year-old boy who wasn't up to the task of being king.
Yeah.
Those wiser men than him that were sitting in the palace, sitting around the dinner table. And he knew it. And I guarantee when he sat down and he looked around and his father was nearly dead, and then his father died, I'm sure in his heart he was thinking to himself, I'm not ready.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not able. I can't do this. And you know what? He was exactly right.
Yeah.
And you know what? We can't live the Christian life without God.
Amen.
If God's not in it, you're on your own. And you know, you're just in the flesh. And Solomon knew in his heart he wasn't up to the task. And that's why instead of asking for something for himself, he asked for wisdom to rule the people that God had given him. And you know, this was going from, you know, me and Jonathan, we would be selfish, you know. We would ask for a fancy car and Jonathan would ask for good looks, you know. he's a pretty boy, he's alright. And you know, we would ask for stuff for ourselves, but God blessed Solomon because he asked for something for other people. He asked to be a blessing to other people. And you know, as soon as people come into my addictions program, they're so self-focused. They're only worried about their own problem, their own addiction. How I can get myself out of my problem. But you know, the first thing we do is, we say, you know what, I think you could be a blessing to this person.
Good.
And you try to get them to reach out to other people. Because if you can get the focus off yourself, young person, and onto somebody else, God will use your life to bless
praise
other
the
people.
Lord,
even though you're not perfect.
Amen.
And if anybody tells you I'm ever perfect, I'm not. And you know, but God uses me to bless other people. You know why?
Amen.
Because I'm not just focused on myself.
Good.
For a long time I just worried about Leighton Kelly. And I didn't help anybody. And I was dead, stagnant, and God didn't use me. But then when I started focusing on other people, even though I wasn't perfect all the time, God started to use me and he used to flow out of me. So what we're looking at is Solomon. He changed his mind. He says, I'm gonna ask for something. I'm gonna ask for wisdom, an understanding heart. And in verse 10 it says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And let me ask you a question, young person. You know, Solomon's speech pleased the Lord. What came out of his mouth pleased the Lord? Let me ask you, does your speech please the Lord?
Amen.
Silence. And you know, does their speech please the Lord? What comes out of our mouth, does that please the Lord? When we're in school, when we're not around the adults, does their speech please the Lord? Do we tend to gossip? Do we tend to badmouth the other people when they're not there? Does team 1 badmouth team 3 because they're all big mouths? No. I'm preaching the truth tonight. And, you know, we need to realise, settle down, folks, settle down. I know, we need to realise, you know, God's interested in what comes out of my mouth.
Yes, sir.
God's interested in what comes out of your mouth. You know, we can have good fun, we can have a laugh, but you know they're not, you know, there are certain boundaries we need to stick to.
Yeah.
And we need to have godly talk.
Yeah.
You know what? We need to watch what's coming out of our mouth. Do you ever hear of a snake? Anyone watch nature programs? I love nature programs, right?
Yeah.
And we need to be like a snake. Young person, you need to be like a snake. And you say, like a snake? I thought that was a bad thing in the Bible. Well, no, the illustration I'm going to use is quite a good thing. See, when a snake, and it's just like a Christian, think of the example of a snake's a Christian. You know, when a Christian grows, certain things aren't so good anymore, and they're uncomfortable for you, and you don't want to do them. And you know, you're uncomfortable doing them. And you should be, because as you grow in God, certain things just aren't right anymore. And you know, just like the snake, you need to realise, if I have a problem in my mouth, if I'm a gossip, if I use foul language, if I say things that aren't right and I'm talking about other people behind our back, we need to realise we need to be like a snake. And you see, when a snake's grown and his skin is getting tight, you know what he has to do? He has to slither over to a rock, okay? He has to slither over to a rock. And you know where he bangs on the rock? He starts off by banging his mouth, rubbing his mouth off the rock. And you know what that does? That gets the skin, and then he ends up slithering out of his skin. So we can grow.
Amen.
If you want God to start growing your life as a Christian, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to slither over to the rock, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to have to bang your mouth, because it will start in your mouth for most people.
Amen.
And you know, God will break out that skin.
Amen.
I know God wants to give you victory over your mouth, over that tongue. You know, he gave you 2 lips and 2, you know, upper teeth and lower teeth to keep that tongue in order. And we need to realise that God wants godly stuff coming out of our mouth.
Amen.
Encouraging talk coming out of our mouth.
Amen.
Not running people down and making ourselves look good in front of the girls. And you know, not the ladies, you know, talking bad and gossiping. And you know, that's a lady's biggest problem, you know. And you know, don't turn off the hair nights now, ladies, but it's true. You know, men have different problems. But often girls, it will be backbiting and talking about other people. And you know, that's just the way certain people are. And we need to watch that, because God is grieved at that. And you know, you need to be like a snake. Go to the rock, the Lord Jesus, and he will deal with that issue of your mouth. And you know, God wants to use you. He wants to bless your life. But make sure your talk is godly. I've loads of sermon to get through, so I hope you're comfortable sitting in them seats. They look real comfortable, folks. And Solomon, you know, he wanted his life to please God. And you know, we need to ask ourselves, you know, have you ever asked God, does my life please God?
Mm.
You know, we need to ask ourselves that all the time. And you know, God said unto Solomon in verse 11, look at your Bible, verse 11, but thou hast asked this thing, and thou was not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, and thou hast not asked for the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. And you know, for God bless Solomon, because he was not self-focused. And you know, most of us are only interested in the 3 most important people in the world, and it's really me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
And this week, try to be a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
Every day, say to yourself, who can I pick as an individual to be a blessing to today? I know, do something small for somebody tomorrow, and it'll be a blessing to them. I know, we need to realise that God wants to use us, God wants to bless us, he wants to grow us. I want you to turn over to verse 12. And we're going to read it, verse 12 and 13, 1 Kings chapter 3. And verses 12 and 13 says, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honour, so that there shall be none, not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And what he was saying is here, God is saying, you know what, Solomon, because you weren't self-focused this week, because you weren't focused upon yourself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. And we need to realize that God always gives us more than we think.
Yeah,
He abundantly blesses. And if you will come to God this week, and you will place your life in His hands, and say, God, whatever you want, I'm really willing to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, God will lead you, and He will abundantly bless your life. And you know, if you came to this camp and you're not saved and you're needing God to save you from your sin, you know, God won't only save you from going to a devil's hell to going to a glorious heaven. God will save you from the power of sin.
Yes.
And you know, whether you be strung out and addicted to drugs, or somebody that has a problem with their tongue, or disobeying your parents, or rebellious, God can give you victory over that sin issue.
Amen.
You know, we need to realize God not only saves from going from hell to heaven, God also saves from the power of sin. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession from them. And God can take the worst person from the guttermost and bring them to the uttermost.
Amen.
And He can transform people's lives totally around, flip things upside down, and get them to walk with God the way He wants.
Amen.
And you know, although you might have come with a hard heart this week, God can change that around.
Amen.
If you're open, God can change that around. And you know, God can rescue anybody from any pit. You wouldn't believe the people that come through our door and the situations that they're in. And you know, you might think that you have it tough right now, but God can take you from any pit, wipe you down and clean you up. And you need to realize that tonight. And one question we need to ask ourselves also is, what are we holding on to? What are you holding on to tonight? What's hindering your walk with God? What did you come to camp with that you know just isn't right and God isn't pleased with? What grey area is there in your life? You know, what's stealing your joy? What's stealing your peace? What are you letting rob you? You know, often there's an issue that we're letting rob us, that we're just holding on to. We're not willing to give up. And you know, we need to ask ourselves, what's hindering our walk? What does God want us to give up? What's He looking for from us? And you know, one thing I learned about Solomon, and I've been reading Solomon now since Pastor asked me to preach on it. And one thing I learned about Solomon is, he done a lot of sacrificing. And he always sacrificed big.
Yeah.
You know, he always sacrificed big. And you know what? God might come to you this week and He might ask you to sacrifice big for Him.
Mm.
You know? The Bible tells us that, you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and with all thy heart and soul, and with all thy might. God wants us to give Him first place in our lives. And God wants, you know, young person, old person, preachers, laymen, you know, He wants us to sacrifice big to Him. And I believe there is stuff in all our lives that God says, you know what, that's not good. I want you to sacrifice that for me. And He wants to put His hand upon something in your life tonight, and He wants to ask you, what are you holding on to? And you know, for all of you, it will be different. For some of you, it will be our mouth. For some of you, it will be maybe something you're addicted to something. For some of you, it will be just, you know, you're disobeying your parents, not living right. For some of you, it will be ungodly music that you're listening to. For some of you, it will be clothes that you wear.
Yeah.
For some of you, it will be certain PlayStation games that you play.
Yeah.
For some of you, it will be just, you know, just being told rebellious and not going by the authorities in your life. But God says, what are you holding on to? What are you giving first place in your life? Because God wants you to sacrifice big. I'm going to tell you a story, and it stays between all of us, right, because it's about my life. And when I was a drug addict, I was addicted to heroin for about 7 years, and I'd done all the government programs, I'd done the methadone program and all that. But when I went back to the church, and the church helped me, the church sent me across to Scotland. That's only across the water, so it's not too far. We all know where Scotland is. And I spent 18 months in a Christian program, learning how to get rid of my addiction. And it really worked. At the end of the 18 months I came out, I wasn't addicted to any drugs. I didn't take drugs. I read my Bible all the time, walked with God. I went to church, I done all them things. But I started going to college, secular college, to learn how to be a social worker. And what happened to me is I got in a crowd in college that were in my class. And, you know, often, you know, when we get in with the wrong friends, we're taking a nosedive. And I remember in my life, I was going for God. I had just come out of a miserable life of drug addiction. I had just spent 18 months, that's a year and a half, getting my life sorted out. And I start college, which should be an opportunity for me. But I ended up hanging around with some friends that were in the college and in the class. And my friends out of college, they drank. They drank alcohol. I hadn't drank alcohol since I left Ireland to go into this program. But when I went and I started hanging around with the wrong friends, even after a year and a half, you would have thought I'd be smarter than this after a year and a half. But, you know, we're often not smart, we're often stupid. Mm-hmm. And I was stupid, and I often still am. But I started drinking, social drinking, with my friends out of college. When I say friends, they were just associates. And what the point is tonight, folks, is, you know, even though I had spent years addicted to drugs, even though I had spent 18 months trying to learn about God to get off my addiction, as soon as I got in with the wrong friends, there was a downward pull. Yeah. And I remember being sucked back into the world. I remember walking with God and then suddenly wrong friends, and they're going in a total other direction. And if you have wrong friends, they're not going to pull you, you're not going to pull them up to your level. They're not going to pull you up to your level. I was up here, I was walking with God, I was reading my Bible, but my friends were down here. They didn't know God, they didn't read the Bible, they didn't care about the Bible. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll pull these up, you're going to try to pull me down and I'll pull you up, right? And you need to be strong, right? Right. You'll never pull your friends up to your level. Mm-hmm. Your friends will always pull you down. Yeah. Bad company corrupts good morals.
Yeah.
Bad company corrupts good morals. Your bad friends will corrupt your Christian life, will destroy your walk with God. They will pull you down and you will be back down to the level of the person that's not walking with God. And I don't care how much you say your friends aren't that bad. When I started off on drugs all them years ago, my friends didn't even take drugs. And you say, well, you know, I'm not going to end up messed up like you. I was just like you. I went to a good church.
Amen.
I listened to preaching. I sang the gospel songs. I knocked on people's doors giving out gospel leaflets. But you know what? I got in with bad friends. My bad friends corrupted my good morals. And I lived just like them. And you know what? You need to ask yourself, is God asking me to give up something big? Is God asking me to sacrifice big for Him this week? And you know, for some views it might be different. For some views, you know, you might have bad friends. I doubt it. But for some views that might be true. But you need to ask yourself, would God ask me to give anything up? Would God ask me to give up any aspect of my life? And I'll tell you how you know you're right with God. If you're right with God, you won't wake up like this. This is the way I used to wake up when I was hanging around my bad friends in Scotland. I used to wake up like a burnt out volcano. There was no joy, there was no peace, there was no walk with God. I never read my Bible, I never prayed. I used to daydream in church. I wasn't interested in the singing. I wasn't interested in praying. I wasn't interested in the things of God. Because concentration brings conformity. And if you're concentrating on the wrong friends, you'll be just like them. And you know, we need to ask ourselves, is there anything God wants us to sacrifice? And you know, one day I remember, you know, in the midst of that chaos when I started drinking again, one day I was sitting in my house, or I had my own house at the time in Scotland, and I remember God saying to me, and it was just like He spoke to me. He didn't speak in a loud voice that you could hear. He just spoke to my heart. You know what He said? He says, Leighton, I have something better than this for you.
Amen.
I have something better than this for you. And I knew it. I knew in my heart that God had a better plan than that for me. I knew my life wasn't right with God. I knew He had a plan and a purpose for me. You know why? I'll show you why. See, when I went to drug rehab in Scotland, my pastor's wife wrote it in my Bible. And every day when I was struggling on the program, I picked up that verse and I read that verse. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace.
Amen.
And not of evil. And to give you an expected end. God wanted to give me an expected end. And I was messing God's plan up by the way I was living, by the friends I was keeping, by the lifestyle I had, by the things that were in my life. And all God's plan for me was thrown out the window. I may as well have just picked it up, put it in the bin, and set the thing on fire. And when God spoke to me that day, God wanted me to sacrifice big for Him. He wanted me to get rid of the drinking. I never drank another drop since that day. I would never drink alcohol again. If anybody ever tells you it's okay to drink alcohol, give them my phone number. I would gladly come down and deal with them. Drinking is wicked and it's wrong. It will wreck your life.
Yes.
The other day, I had an interview with a man. The man is 44 years old. His name is Dan. Dan is from Kerry. We're not far from Kerry over here.
No.
Dan's daughter, 4 years ago, was knocked down by a joyrider and killed. Dan now sleeps in a park in Lucan, in Dublin. He wakes up wet every morning with the dew on him. He wakes up wet from the rain every morning, sleeping in a park, addicted to alcohol. I interviewed him at 10 o'clock through the morning. He couldn't even open his eyes. He was that drunk. And you know, we think drinking's okay. Drinking will wreck your life. Destroy your life. And you know, we need to realise, we need to say no to drinking. And you know what the first and easiest, you know the easiest drink to say no to? Number one. If Dan had said no to the number one, see all the millions of others he drank, he wouldn't have to say no to them. If you just say no to the first one, you won't have the problem of saying no to the rest. Bad company corrupts good morals. And you know, although Dan had lots of hurt in his life, he didn't have to go like that. And you know, the devil will use situations and bad things happening to us to pull us down. And you know, I remember in my life I was thinking like the world. And you might say, Lane, I'm never going to go like that. I'm never going to get sucked into that lifestyle. And you know, we need to realise, I never thought that either. And you know, when I started going down the road of sin and I was getting into sin, you know what it turned me into? It turned me into a thief, a liar, somebody that didn't respect my family, that didn't care about other people. It stole my character, you know, it made me depressed, it ruined my health, it stripped me of all I had, it cost me all my teenage years. Why? Because I started hanging around with wrong friends, made simple wrong decisions when I was a young teenager, just like you. Just like you. I started stealing cars when I was 13 years old. I was caught in a robbed car in the Hellfire Club in Dublin when I was 13 years old. Hands up any 13-year-olds in here. Okay. You know, and there's many. And you think, you know, I'd never be like that. Well, you know, I said that too. My mother said that. My son wouldn't be like that. And she was in total denial. Well, you know what? You hang around with the wrong friends. You concentrate on the wrong things. And you'll be surprised where your sin will end up. We need to ask ourselves, are we being led around by the nose by the world? You know, my wife's family live on a farm in Scotland. And there's this big, massive bull. And there's a bull's house like next door. And that bull would kill all of us, no bother. But you know what? You will see the farmer's wife walking that bull and leading that bull and telling that bull where to go. And that bull will go exactly where that weak little woman wants the bull to go. Even though the bull is like that size and bigger than my arms. You know why? Because he's being led around by the nose. He has this little ring in his nose and they clip this hook on and they just walk him. And you know what? The bull will lead you around by the nose. The world will promise you satisfaction, it will promise you joy, it will promise you peace, it will promise you love, it will promise that it will give you the things that only God can give you.
Amen.
Only God gives true joy. Only God, drugs don't give peace. God gives peace.
Amen.
Alcohol doesn't bring joy.
No.
God brings joy.
Amen.
It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when we're walking with God, we have that true joy. But we're going to look, I know we're talking about Solomon, but we're going to look now, we're nearly getting into the sermon here. Now, I won't be that long, so just stay with me. We're going to look at how Solomon's wisdom turned into foolishness. And you know, King Solomon had been king for many years. And, you know, but one thing he stopped doing, and you need, don't do this. See if you ever backslide, don't do this. This is essential for the backslidden person here today. What Solomon done when he was backslidden, when he started drifting, was he stopped doing the things he knew to be right.
Yes, sir.
Even when God seems distant to you, keep doing the things that you know to be right. Keep doing the things. Keep in church. Keep reading. Keep trying to pray.
Amen.
Keep doing the things that you know to be right. And you know, what Solomon done, he didn't do that. He stopped doing the things he knew to be right. He started to drift. He compromised in his life. And you know, he started concentrating on the wrong things. When his daddy David was around, he was concentrating on David. And David was a godly man. He was Bible verse after Bible verse being thrown out, psalm after psalm. He was walking with God. He was singing about God. He was playing to God. He was dancing for God. He was doing the lot. And you know, David was all over the place for God. But you know what? Solomon was a follower. He just needed somebody to follow. He used to follow his father David. But now his father David was gone. You know, the stuff that he learned off David, he started to forget them things. He started to drift. He started to compromise. He was a follower. And you know, he started following the wrong kind of people. Ask yourself, am I a follower? Do you follow people around? Do you just follow the crowd and do what your friends do? Because that's what got me in trouble. Following the crowd. And you know, Solomon, that he loved to just follow people. He didn't want to make decisions himself when he was backslidden. He just wanted to just really do whatever he wanted. He started concentrating on the wrong things and he started lusting after sin. Turn in your Bible to chapter 11 and 1 Kings. We're going to read a couple of verses. Chapter 11. And you know, he started concentrating on the wrong things. He started to lust after sin. And you mark it down in your life. Concentration brings conformity. Whatever you spend your time doing thinking about, that's what you'll become like.
Yeah.
If you spend your time watching MTV and listening to all that rubbish and watching that filth on MTV, you will end up dressing like them.
Yeah.
You will end up talking like them.
Right.
Singing like them. And being like them. And you know what I learned? Men, turn off your hearing aids and don't listen. This is just for the ladies. Ladies, you know what I noticed? And I notice a lot of things because I worked in a drug rehab for years. And my wife, they used to call me the ferret because I used to see everything and know what was going on. And you know, what I'm noticing about young girls that are living in the world right now is any time they drive by me in their cars or they walk by me on the street with handbags or jewellery, you know what's on it? Play girl. Play girl, play girl, play girl. And you might know what that is, but for those that do, you know what? Play girl and all that trash on MTV, you know what they treat ladies like?
Yeah.
Like dirt. Like pieces of filth that they can buy and sell like a piece of meat that you go down to the butchers for. But you know what our girls do in Ireland? They buy their merchandise. They put their stickers on the back window of their car. They buy their handbags, walk around. They buy the jewellery out of Argos to put on them. And you know what? Concentration brings conformity. If you concentrate on that rubbish, you'll be like that. And your life will be like that. And you know, ladies, don't ever buy that rubbish or don't get into anything like that. Don't be watching the stuff on MTV because you will be just like it. And they just treat women like dirt.
Yeah.
You know, see all these videos that you watch, and I used to watch them. And all they do is make little of women and treat women like dirt. And ladies, girls, if you watch MTV and you watch that kind of stuff, you know what you're saying? It's okay to do that. And we don't mind if somebody treats me like that. Rubbish. And men, you know, you need not listen to or watch anything like that either, because it'll just corrupt your mind and give you a false picture of marriage, a false picture of the family. And it's just corrupting our homes.
Right.
1 Kings chapter 11. We're going to look where Solomon went wrong. Verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. We already had a wife, but it gives us a list of a lot of parasites he started sleeping around with, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and lots of different parasites. He was just sleeping around, you know, he was just sleeping with everybody. And the next verse says, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Bad company corrupts good morals. Solomon cleave unto these in love. Solomon cleave unto these in love. And you know, we might think that bad company won't corrupt us, but it will. And God, even back in Bible days, when he wrote the Bible, all them years and years ago, God knew this principle.
Yeah.
And God gives us a clear understanding of this principle, and he says it many times. God's people, stay away from this, this, and this. Stay away from them kind of people, because if you go with them people, you'll be like them.
Yeah, right.
And they will pull you down, just like the illustration I showed you earlier. And look at, see, we think God gives us loads of rules, and the preacher gets up and he gives it loads, and he gives it loudly for an hour or so, and then we go home and we get out of that one. And you know, God didn't touch us in that one. And now, if God doesn't touch you when you're in the preaching, you know, you're the problem, it's not God, because God's wanting to touch you. God's wanting what's best for you as an individual.
Amen.
God's wanting what's best for you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you know why I know that? Because he wants what's best for me. And I'm a father, I have two little boys, Connor and Oisin. Connor's nearly two, and I want what's best for my son.
Amen.
And if you're a child of God tonight, you know what? See this soccer over here? I have a little boy, and you know, kids are strange. Little boys are strange. You know what he loves doing? And taking out plugs, putting in plugs. But you know what? That's deadly dangerous.
Yes.
If his little fingers are behind that, what's going to happen? There's a danger of him getting an electric shock, of being hurt. So see, when I see him, what do? I run over and I say, Connor, no. And what do I do then? Discipline.
Yeah.
Because I've already told him now. And maybe some of you are in here this week and God's been trying to discipline you. Mm. And if God's been trying to discipline you, praise God.
Yeah,
if God doesn't discipline the devil's children.
Yeah.
If God's not been working on your heart this week, you need to get saved.
Amen.
You know, because you're one of the devil's children. God only spanks his own children. And we need to be real, real careful that God's dealing with us, or you need to speak to somebody about it. Solomon had 700 wives. And that's amazing. Can you imagine what it was like on shopping day? And they all came with the handout looking to go to Little and Alex. And you know, they all came and says, I need money for this, I need money for that. He must have a wallet about that size. I only have one wife and I struggle on shopping day. And in the next verse, in verse 4, says, and it came to pass when Solomon was old, so he was at the grown up, he was old, that his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God. As the heart of David, his father. He was backslidden, folks. He was gone far from God. And, you know, we need to realize that we can drift far from God. Let's see how we got far from God. You know, because we never think that sin will take us so far from God. But verse 5 tells us that, you know, Solomon started going after other gods because he started being with the ladies that he was with, the people he was spending time with. They worshipped other gods. And Solomon was once a man that loved the Bible. Solomon was once a man that loved church, that loved praying. He used to sing the psalms that his father David had wrote. He used to walk to church and you know, just skip along looking forward to the preaching. But you know what? He went backslidden. He went cold. He went hard. And he stopped doing the things he knew to be right. And he started hanging around with the devil's crowd. He got in with the wrong people. And their bad influence had a massive effect on his life. Look at verse 8 in chapter 1. Verse 8 in chapter 1 of Kings, and it says, chapter 11, I'm on the wrong page myself. If I'm getting it wrong, you just haven't got a hope. Chapter 11, verse 8, and it says, and likewise did he for all the strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And you know, he compromised in his life. Solomon was once a man that done right, but now he was living in sin and doing some strange things that he never thought he would do. You know, if you were to ask Solomon the day after that God came to meet with him and God said, Solomon, what do you want?
Mm.
You know, the next day after he woke up and God was out to make him wise, if you were to say to him, Solomon, you know what, in 20 or 30 years, you know what you're going to be like? You're going to be worshipping other gods, building idols, burning incense to other gods. You're going to be, you know, having lots of different ungodly wives. What would he have said to you? Not a hope. There's no way I'd go into sin like that. I'm going to worship God forever. God's blessed my life. He's encouraged my heart. I'm on fire for God. But you know what? Bad company corrupts good morals. And when he drifted far from God. And you know what? It didn't happen the next day. Did you notice that? It was when he was old. A long time had passed. And sin creeps in. And it mightn't be tomorrow that you slip into addiction. It mightn't be tomorrow that you fall away from going to church. But after a period of time and the sin there, you drift from God. And when you're old, when you're a couple of years down the line, maybe you won't go to church anymore. And you know, you'll be worshipping other gods. You'll be making idols and in your own life. And you know, we need to realise that Solomon said he'd never do that. And you know, we often say that. That's exactly what I said. But Solomon started building idols to other gods and he started worshipping other gods, the Bible tells us. But in Psalm 14:1 it says, and this is David saying, the fool says in his heart there is no God.
Yeah.
Solomon had gone from being the wisest man on the earth to being a fool. Because what he was saying deep down is there is no God. He's worshipping false gods. He's saying the real God isn't real anymore. And you know, why wasn't God real to him anymore? Because he let the fire go out in his heart. Because he stopped doing the things he knew to be right. Because he started hanging around with bad friends. Because he started going into sin and he started to lust after sin. And you know, Solomon, it took Solomon absolutely years to come back to God. But you know what, for you young person, if you've been drifting, if you have bad friends, if you're going the wrong way and you know it, you know you're going the wrong way, it doesn't have to take you years to turn back.
No,
I was a drug addict for nearly 7 years. It doesn't have to take you that long to turn back to God. You can do it tonight. You can come back to God tonight. It doesn't have to be this burnt out volcano when you wake up in the morning. There can be joy back there tomorrow morning. There can be peace in your heart when you wake up tomorrow morning. You can be on fire for God when you walk out of this room tonight, even if the sin in your heart right now. You can be on fire for God. You know why? Because if you come to God and you ask God to forgive you, you know, there's a verse in 1 John 1:7 that says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us from all sin. All sin. No matter how bad, no matter how long it's been going on, the blood of Christ cleansed us from all sin. I know God wants you to know that's a promise from Him to you. And if you would apply the blood of Christ tonight to your life, ask God to forgive your sin, He would.
Yes.
He's standing with arms wide open. He loves you more than you could ever know. He loves you more than I love my two boys. He cares for you more than I care for my two boys. And I really think I would, if my kids were standing there and I had to run out in the middle of a road and the bus was coming, I would run out and push them out of the way and I would get hit by the bus. I really feel that in my heart. But you know what? God would do so much more than that for you. So much more. He gave everything He had for you. He sacrificed big for you. Would you sacrifice big for Christ tonight? Would you sacrifice big for Him? Would you give Him what that sin is? God wants you to give Him that sin. God wants you to turn it over. He's wanting you to let go. That thing that you're holding on to and nobody else knows about. You know, God wants you to let that go. God wants you to learn the lesson so you don't have to fall the way Solomon did. You know, it's easier to keep a heart clean than it is to clean a heart after it's been defiled.
Yeah.
It's easier to say no to sin than to clean your life up after you're in sin. It's easier to say no to drugs than it is to get off drugs when you're strung out and addicted to drugs. It's the same with alcohol, it's the same with gambling. No matter what the addiction is, it's easier to say no than it is to clean yourself up after you've messed up. And you know, sin promises so much and we all understand that. I'm going to give you an illustration and then we're going to be just about finished. And you know, I used to live in Scotland. I lived there for 5 years. Alright, we're nearly finished. I know you are all tired at the moment to get out of here. Well, I lived in Scotland for 5 years and I used to work in this youth group and we used to have like 120, 130 people come on a Friday night and we used to play pool with them and we had Bible story and stuff like that. And one day this alcoholic came walking down the lane, and he had a big bushy beard. And I knew his name because he used to live in the town, but he was a homeless guy. He used to sleep in doorways and stuff like that, and he was an alcoholic. And I got talking to him. I used to be like the doorman. You wouldn't think it, but the kids were all smaller than me. But I used to stand at the door, and I got talking to this guy. And I says to him, I think his name was John or Johnny or something like that. And I says, you know, how did you end up? He was telling me he used to have a family, he used to have his own business, he used to do well. And I says to him, you know, how did you end up being like this? I says, you're homeless, you're filthy, don't you? You have a big, massive beard. He's like, you know, this big, he looked like your man off the Fish Finger ad. And Captain Birdseye. And you know, he was just all over the place. And I says, John, how did this happen? And I says, how did you get this far down this road? And he looked at me with the strangest look you've ever seen in your life. And he says, Layton, it promised me so much. He was under pressure in his life at the time and his business started to go wrong. His family started to go wrong. He started drinking. And the drink promised to satisfy him. The things of the world promised to satisfy him and give him peace in his life, to help him, to give him joy. And he went after the world's way.
Yeah.
I promised them so much, but the world always and sin always fails to deliver. But the truth tonight from the Word of God is, you know, you don't have to go down the road that this man John went down. You don't have to go down the road I went down. You don't have to go down the road that Dan went down. You could come tonight and you could get God to keep you from all that stuff.
Yeah.
You could learn the truth from Solomon's life, not be with the wrong people, not be compromised in your life. And you know, make things right tonight. Come to God, He's waiting, the arms are open. God is a seeking Savior. And He's seeking you tonight. And He's seeking you to give Him a big sacrifice. Whatever the thing is tonight. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. Pastor's going to come up and close us. And whatever that thing is, you say to God, you're willing to give it up.
Everybody's head bowed, your eyes closed. Probably right now you've got a friend or somebody that's an influence in your life, and it's holding you back. It's somebody that you think about. The only thing you want to do is go and do something with them, and you know they're slowly pulling you down, just like that illustration where Brother Kelly said, "You never pull them up; they always pull you down." Somebody, there's something that's holding you back. I'm going to ask you right now. The Lord's dealing with your heart. And you're struggling in your own Christian life. You've got a chance to get things right. You've got a chance to fix a different direction. Solomon, the whole purpose of looking at Solomon is not to really learn the wisdom of Solomon. We want to learn just stupidity of Solomon. Because he wasted over 20 years of his life before he came back around. Laban took over 7 years. Some people, they never get right. Who do you want to be? What do you want to do? I know Jesus loves you. He absolutely loves you. When He died on that cross, He did not intend for you to be pulled back down again into the muck and the mire that He saved you from. So you don't have to be into drink, into drugs, but you can be going that way. And it shows on your face. It shows in the clothes you wear. It shows in the music you listen to. You don't have to be doing drugs, but if you're enjoying listening to people who do drugs and being around people like that, then you're being pulled down. Now, Brother Kelly emphasized over and over, says those bad friends ruin good manners. Your parents taught you right. Your preacher taught you right. You've been to camp several years. You've learned a lot right. You feel like it's being drained away. I'm going to ask you right now, nobody looking around, if you feel like you're struggling real bad, and you've got friends, you've got everything coming against you, and you want help, you want to say, Brother Craig, pray for me. I do not want to spend 18 months trying to get off of a drug. I do not want to find out one day I'm pregnant. I do not want to struggle for years, maybe with scars, being messed up on alcohol. I do not want that. And I'm struggling right now. Would you pray for me? Just put your hand up. Put your hand up. Put it down. I want to pray for you. Amen. Anybody says, I know I'm fighting against something. Amen. You put your hands down. I know I'm fighting against something. And I'm afraid of the power of that thing. I'm going to ask another question. Say, Brother Craig, I'm not even saved. You keep talking like being a Christian. I thought I was a Christian because I've been baptized. I go to church, and I come here, and all you talk about is being born again. And I don't think I am. I'm not sure what that means. Would you pray for me, Brother Craig? I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody who's not sure that they're born again? There's one. Anybody else? Look around. Not sure. Two. Not sure they're saved. Three. That when they die, they're not ready for eternity. That's four. Anybody else? Five. Not sure. Okay. Just a minute. I'm going to give you a chance to talk to somebody. Thank you. Six. Good. Another one. Maybe seven. In this room. Just a minute. Brother Dan, Miss Sharon, Miss Sunetagora, be available for you to talk to. I'm going to ask you to be brave and come up and talk to these folks. As a matter of fact, If you raised your hand right now and said, I'm not sure I'm saved, I want you to go right now with Brother Dan. If you're not sure, you're born again. Nobody else look around. If you're looking around, you're breaking the moment. If you're not saved, I want you to be bold enough to go back over there towards the door, Brother Dan. Somebody will go with you and sit down and talk to you. Anybody else say, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not just worried about alcohol and drugs. I'm worried about going to where the devil is. Anybody else say, oh, I couldn't do that. Yes, you could. Well, I'm too embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. I need some more helpers. Mark, I need you to go. Miss Gina, I need you to go. See if you can help, please. Lydia. All right, rest of you. Some of you raised your hands and you said, I'm not sure I'm on the right track. Nobody looking around. Did you really mean it that you want help? Or are you going to be stubborn? And do you think you're going to do better than Leighton? Is that what you think? You think, well, I won't be brought under that power. You won't fall down the same steps he fell, and it'll be a whole lot easier for you. He can tell you person to person to person. He can tell you every person who messes with alcohol gets hurt. Every person who messes with drink, drugs, sex before marriage, every one of them got burned, and they carry the scars for the rest of their lives. Nobody messes with sin without being hurt. Do you really want to be so stupid and risk ruining the life that Jesus Christ purchased for you? I'm going to ask another question now. And with the honesty of your heart, I want you to raise your hand. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. Put your hand up if you can say, I know I'm saved. If you do know you're born again, amen, you can put your hand down. Amen. If that's true, you belong to Jesus. If that's true, your hands, your eyes, your lips, girls, guys, belong to Jesus. Your heart belongs to Jesus. He bought that. Don't throw it away at some jerk. Don't throw it away at some flus. Don't throw it away for anybody. But Leighton said it very clearly. It's a whole lot better to keep something clean. A whole lot easier to keep it clean than to try to clean it up afterwards. Don't let the devil mess you around. And then expect somebody to spend 18 months with you trying to fix it. You know, a lot of us give our lives trying to help you. But we'd like to help you tonight so that we don't have to help you 15 years down the line. Father, in just a minute we're going to pray. Like maybe we haven't prayed in a while. But I ask that you would bring conviction upon the hearts of the young people in this room. Please help. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask you to turn around, get on the face, on your face, in your chair. If God has spoken to your heart, turn around. Nobody looking around still. Just turn around, get on your knees, at your chair, and I ask you to pray with me. Turn all the way around, get on your face, in your chair. If God has spoken to your heart and said, and you are afraid and you fear being messed around by the devil, if you are scared that somebody's going to come along and offer you a drink and you're going to be with the right friends at that time, I said, right, I mean, it's the ones that have the most influence on you, and you're scared that you might just take that first drink. You might just be with friends who'll turn around and they'll offer you a fag, and all of a sudden they'll tell you after you've smoked it that it actually was hash. Or whatever it will be, I want you to be very afraid that somebody's going to turn around and will mess with you. If you're afraid of that, I want you to pray with me right now. Dear Lord God, I do not want to go down that way. I do not want my fingers to be addicted to holding a cigarette. I do not want my mind and my heart to be addicted to alcohol. I do not want to lose my home. I do not want to lose my mind. I don't want to lose my purity. I don't want to lose my parents. I don't want to lose my life. I want to find the right way. I want to live it. I want to walk with the wise. I believe you hate sin. And I believe you judge sin. And I don't want to reap for my sin. I'm so glad Jesus died for my sin. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me stay true, stay pure, stay clean. Never ever pick up a cigarette. Never ever, ever pick up a filthy magazine. I don't want to ever find myself sticking needles into my arm. I don't want to ever find myself messing around in some bed somewhere. I don't want to do that. And instead of waiting until then to try to get right and to try to back away, I want to keep myself right tonight. Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving me as a sinner. You know I'm but dust. Oh, if you prayed that prayer, please raise your hand. Pray. If you prayed with me, raise your hand. Then let's close it in prayer. Lord Jesus, I commit to your care these lives. We've come this far in this week. We've looked at the life of Solomon. We're starting to learn. He wasn't all that wise after all. You gave him so much wisdom. And he forgot the most important part, and that was you. He started to think he was smarter than you. He started to think he could handle everything that this world had to offer. And he found out, after 20-some odd years, he found out it burned him bad. We don't have to do that. We don't have to mess and discover that all over again. We can learn it like we did tonight. Thank you for Brother Layton Kelly coming. But thank you for teaching us these things. Thank you for giving us another chance. Lord, I pray for those young people who are now being talked to. Lord, we've got something decided here tonight, but they're deciding something wonderful. Please help every one of them. Either make sure they're saved or get saved, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab your Bible, please. I want you to read with me. We're not going to sing. We're going to read. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are going to read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You will read slowly, carefully with me. Nine, ten, and 11. Okay? That means you'll read slowly as I read. We'll all read aloud. Okay? Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, 10, and 11. Watch it. Let's start. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That most precious part. Such for some of you. If you're saved, you're free. Don't let the devil ever hook you again. Amen? Amen. Now if you just be still, just sit down for just a minute.